الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين، نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين، وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، all praises due to Allah, and may Allah send His peace and His blessings and exalt the mention of Prophet Muhammad, his companions, and all those who follow them on their righteous path until the day of judgment. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward the Shaykh for his khutbah. Very important subject in our current times, because there's a lot of controversy regarding this issue. The Shaykh began his khutbah by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he said, "O Muslims, while the believers and the Muslims celebrate their holidays of the unity or the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where they exalt Allah, they glorify Him, they praise Him, and they thank Him. Furthermore, the holiday of goodness and treating kindly the servants of Allah and showing them goodness and bringing happiness into their hearts, the holiday of purification and cleanliness and clarity. Others are celebrating a religion in which the reality of it is different than the name." And of course, everybody knows that we're talking about Valentine. Eid al-Hub, the holiday of love, or in modern days they call it Valentine. And what do you know about Valentine? The Shaykh will elaborate. It's not really about love. It's about fornication, adultery, illicit relationship between two strange individuals, strange men and women, and in our days even between a man and another man, and a woman and another woman. Nasallahu al-afiyah. Basically, it is just trying to lead people towards wickedness and deviance in their character and their behavior. And the Shaykh said, we are not discussing this particular subject as means of propagating this holiday. Rather, it is for means of warning. This holiday is so spread around the world that it does not need us to propagate it. It's already out there. But what is expected of us is to warn against it. This innovated, ignorant holiday, which is a means of blindly following the disbelievers and from the West. And all this information has come to us through these satellite dishes to the Muslims. The Shaykh said, there's no doubt that whatever is intended behind this holiday is basically misleading our children, the teenagers, the Muslim men and women, by having them fall into what they call love and so forth. And the Shaykh said, we are not trying to make love forbidden by saying that this particular holiday is forbidden. Love is halal, as it is known to each and every one of you, but in a different context, as the Shaykh will elaborate. He said, this is from the holidays of the disbelievers, and the Muslims have been replaced. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has replaced them with two holidays, Eid al-Adha, Eid al-Fitr, and Eid al-Adha. And these are all that we need. Sufficient they are for us. And it is not permissible for a Muslim to celebrate any other holiday other than these two. Particularly if this particular holiday comes from other nations and other religions and things of this sort. He says, so it is not permissible for us to celebrate with the disbelieving nations, who are in fact our enemies, their holidays and things of this sort. And he said, it is inevitable that some people may have a misunderstanding due to the name of the holiday, you know, the holiday of love. So they may get the wrong idea that it's just pure love. The Shaykh said, no, the kind of love that they're asking for is obsession. Obsession, yani a man becoming obsessed with a woman, or a woman become obsessed with a man. It's beyond the normal level of love that is permissible in Islam. It is basically about having girlfriends and boyfriends and, you know, these kinds of relationships, and all claiming that they're talking about love, but it's just about, you know, it's about sexual relationship between a man and a woman, on which they celebrate on this day these kinds of acts. It is not just between a husband and his wife. Rather, they want to include everyone in supposedly sharing love with one another. The Shaykh said, and these are all forbidden relationships. He said, Muslims, verily, the Muslim expressing his feelings and emotions is something that we do on daily basis. Every day in our lives, we are obliged to show love and affection, not on a particular day, under one particular holiday. And there isn't a single religion on this earth, except that it teaches the followers to have love and things of this sort. But none of them as much as Islam. Islam actually is the forerunner in this case of teaching love and affection among the followers of the religion, that is, of course. It's just as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, verily, if one of you loves his brother, then let him inform him. You know, that's the sunnah. If you love someone for the sake of Allah, you tell him, أخي, إني أحبك في الله. Verily, I love you for the sake of Allah. And he should say to you, أحبك الله الذي أحببتني فيه. May the one whom you love me for, love you. This is actually a sunnah that has been abandoned in this day and time, where if you love someone for the sake of Allah, you feel too shy to inform him. Although this is from our deen. What kind of religion teaches that? That you tell your brother that you love him for the sake of Allah. Now, some teenagers may misunderstand. He goes see his sister, tell her, I love you for the sake of Allah. None of this stuff. Tayyib, this is only for brothers to brothers and sisters to sisters. Otherwise, the shaitan will come in between and will take you to another kind of love, which is not the one we're talking about. Anywho, actually, the Prophet ﷺ has made love means to enter Jannah. He said in a hadith in Sahih Muslim, narrated by Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him, the Prophet ﷺ said, by him whom my soul is in his hand, swearing by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will not enter Jannah until you believe. You will not enter Jannah until you believe. And you will not believe until you love one another. You will not believe until you love one another. And this is regardless of race. It doesn't mean that brothers from Pakistan love brothers from Pakistan, and brothers from India love brothers from India, and an Arab loves an Arab. And this is not what is intended here. A Muslim loves a Muslim. What your passport says is unimportant. Today, this is not even the case. You know, I've heard and seen brothers who, for example, from a particular country, and I thought that he was from the same country, and he became mad that I gave him a title other than his reality, although both are Muslims. So this is unacceptable. We should love each other for the sake of our brotherhood in Islam, not because of our nationality or the tongue that we speak. Anyways, he said, you will not believe until you love one another. Shall I not tell you about something which if you do, you will love one another? He said, spread salam between you. So when you see a brother, say assalamu alaikum wa alaikum assalam. Not only the ones that you know, the ones that you do not know. The ones that you do not know. Actually, the Sahaba, if there was this pillar, if this pillar came in between them, and they saw each other again after the pillar separated them, they will give salam to each other again. Because of this one moment of division, then when they see him again, he will give him salam again, and he will return the salam. So they were very much serious about giving the salam. And you really need to look like a Muslim for someone to know that you're a Muslim so he can give you the salam. Because sometimes if you resemble the disbelievers and I walk down the street and I see you and I don't know whether you're a Muslim or otherwise, I'm not going to be able to give you the salam. You see, because then I may be giving the salam to a non-Muslim. So of course that will help us receive the peace and the blessings, dua from our brothers, and be able to give it back to them inshallah. This is a side note. He said, and such was the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He struck the best examples in showing love to his family members, as it came in the purified sunnah, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to intentionally drink from the same place on the cup where Aisha radhiallahu anha would drink from. So if she had a cup of water and she drank from it, he would turn the cup to the same place where she placed her lips, alayhi salatu wasalam, and he would do the same to show her the love that he had for her. I'm sure nowadays maybe none of us does that. Maybe you see the side and you go to the other side on purpose. Allah musta'an. So the Prophet ﷺ did that. Actually, before he passed away, he died while lying down on her lap, Aisha. And she had, one of the Sahaba had entered, her brother had entered, and he was using a siwak. She saw that Prophet ﷺ looked at him and he wanted the siwak. So she took it from her brother and she cut off the tip and she got it ready for him. Then she gave it to him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and among the last thing he did before he departed from this life sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was that he brushed his teeth with the siwak from the same place where Aisha Anha had already placed her mouth. Again, another form of showing love and affection without the need of Valentine. He did this alayhi wasallam as part of his usual life, so we should follow him sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He said, so actually the Muslim, his love goes beyond human beings, beyond loving brothers in faith. It even includes the things. For example, it comes in the hadith that the Prophet ﷺ said about the mountain of Uhud. Everybody knows the mountain of Uhud. He said, this is a mountain that loves us and we love it. The mountain is a mountain that loves us and we love it. So even loving the mountain, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Shaykh said, so obviously Islam, love in Islam is something that is more encompassing, more general, more conclusive. And it is not limited to the love between a man and a woman. It's not limited to this kind of love. But rather there are many other aspects of love that are more dignified in Islam. And on top of them is loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and loving the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, loving his companions, loving the deen of Islam, and aiding in the victory, and giving victory to the deen of Islam, loving martyrdom in the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and other forms of love. So it is very wrong and dangerous that we try to limit and confine the concept of love in Islam into that very limited sense of the love between a boy and a girl, or a man and a woman, whether married or otherwise. Then the Shaykh went on to say, dear Muslims, maybe some of us are affected by the media, which continues to broadcast during the night and the day, that no successful marriage can exist unless the couple love each other first. And this is very common misconception among the Muslims, that you will never truly have a good marriage unless the two have already fallen in love. So marriage can only happen after a boy loves a girl and the other way around. And obviously this is something that is not correct. They're propagating this particular understanding in order to get the men and the women to get engaged in illegal relationships, claiming that the only way you could have a successful marriage is by loving one another. And a lot of corruption and crimes result due to that. And many different men and women lose their honor and dignity trying to claim that they can only love one another, they can only marry one another after they've already tried themselves out. And this is very common in the West. You know, a man will have his girlfriend for 3-4 years to see whether this is going to be good for marriage or not. Then he realizes she's no good, so he throws her away and he goes for the second one, and so on. And they live their life in the state of, just like animals, just like the cats in the street, they don't make a distinction between who comes and who goes. And these people live a similar life, claiming that they're looking for a successful marriage. Where are they going to get the successful marriage from? Nowhere. So he said, actually, according to statistics, this often leads to the failure of the marriage. Because they've had a relationship prior to their marriage, most likely it will wind up failing. Because Islam, the marriage in Islam was based on love and affection, and not some crazy, obsessive kind of love, where someone adores another person blindly, you know, where they become almost like a god to them. So Islam does not have this extremism in love. There's also moderation in the love that you have for your spouse. It's a subtle, calm way of love between a husband and his wife. And nothing else that is just from the fantasy and from the fictions of the stories that you read and things of the sort. And he said how good understanding Umar radiallahu anhu had of this deen when he said, speaking to the woman, addressing the woman, he said, if one of you does not love one of us, he's speaking to the woman who are married, if one of you does not love her husband, let her not tell him. Don't tell him that you don't love him. He said, because verily the homes which were built upon love are very few, those who actually had love before marriage. But it is really the good treatment, and Islam is what builds the homes. And this, you know, this is the way it's supposed to be. If your son, you want him to marry a girl, he should get to know her in a very moderate sense, where they meet with supervision of the family members. They don't go out on their own, you know. And he just knows her to a certain extent to see whether this is going to work or not. That's it. Then خلاص خطبة زواج and get the whole story going. Then they can love each other freely after they get married. Not before that. Because if it doesn't work, she's going to remain in love with him. Then she's going to marry another man while she still loves the old one. And the same with the brother. He will marry his sister because his parents forced him, and he still loves the older one that he wanted to marry. And this will result in the destruction of the new home, because the heart is outside. So this is something that we must understand, keep limited the nature of the relationship between the men and the woman. The Shaykh went on to say that believers, those who love each other for the sake of Allah, know that this kind of celebration negates our alliance and our innocence from alliance to the believers and innocence from the disbelievers. This negates that. And it is resembling the people of the book in their appearance, in their holidays, in their days. And this is a direct contradiction to the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who prohibited us from imitating the disbelievers. And it's basically causing traffic and confliction with the disbelievers in the days that they have taken as their holidays, and this negates what we have from the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, so O believer, leave alone following the enemies of Islam and turn around to the love of Allah, loving for the sake of Allah and hating for the sake of Allah. And verily the person will be with the one who loves on the Day of Judgment. And follow the righteous companions of the Prophet ﷺ, who struck the best example in their application of loving for the sake of Allah and hating for the sake of Allah. Then he mentioned a hadith from Aisha in the Tabarani al-Awsat, that a man came to the Prophet ﷺ and told him, O Messenger of Allah, wallahi, you are more beloved to me than myself. You are more beloved to me than myself and my child. And wallahi, I would be in my own home. And I remember you. Remember, because he was alive. I remember you. And I am impatient. I cannot remain until I come to look at you. Until I come and see you. Just out of love to the Prophet ﷺ. He said, then when I remember my death and your death, and I know that if you die, you will enter into the highest level of Jannah and Firdaus with the Prophet. And if I enter Jannah, if, he didn't say when I enter Jannah, and if I enter Jannah, I'm afraid that I will be in the lower part of Jannah, so I will not be able to see you. Then the Prophet ﷺ did not answer him. He did not answer him, but a verse from the Quran was revealed, وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ وَالصَّالِحِينَ وَحَسُنَ أُولَٰئِكَ رَفِيقًا. And this is a verse that everyone must understand in his life, and it is understood in Surah Al-Fatiha when we say اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم, the path of those who you have bestowed your favors upon. Who are they? Allah told us in Surah An-Nisa, and whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger, then he will be among those whom Allah has bestowed His favors upon, like the one we were asking in the Fatiha, from the prophets and the Siddiqeen, the truthful ones, those who had knowledge and they acted according to their knowledge. والشهداء, the martyrs, and the ulama, the scholars are included in shuhada. والصالحين, and the righteous people. And what an excellent company is the company of those. So he told them basically, you obey Allah and me, and you will be with me in Jannah. And you don't have to worry about being separated from me due to the difference between us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the Shaykh said, so when the hour takes place, and the earth will shake, and the sun will be very close to the heads of the creation, then speak and mention the honor that those who love each other for the sake of Allah will receive on that particular day. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will shade him under his shade on the day where there is no shade but his shade, as it comes in the hadith in Bukhari and Muslim on Abu Hurairah radi anhu, that the Prophet ﷺ said there are seven who will be under the shade of Allah on the day where there is no shade but the shade of Allah. Then among them he mentioned two men who love each other for the sake of Allah. They meet upon doing so and they separate upon doing so. Yani their whole relationship is loving each other for the sake of Allah, not for some worldly gain. Furthermore, another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say on the Day of Judgment, Where are those who love each other for my sake? Today I will shade them with my shade on the day that where there's no shade but my shade. So the Shaykh went on to say, Muslims, we must, alhamdulillah, there's some awakening among the Muslims today about the dangers of this particular holiday, Valentine, celebrating it and how it affects our aqidah, our belief system, and our character and our behavior. He said, but unfortunately, we have all these, you know, media who are trying to show us different movies and different episodes of such indications where they're trying to propagate this kind of love between a boy and a girl, which is not permissible in Islam, and trying to claim that marriage can never be successful unless you love each other first. This is what was mentioned earlier. So let me go to the next point. Yes, so basically he mentioned, this is why we're seeing a lot of divorce. I'm just going to summarize because of the time, I know you're... He said this is what's happening, divorce today. The rate is so high because the people have been tricked. A man marries a woman, and as soon as they enter the household of marriage, you know, and she has children, she does not give him the same treatment she used to give him before. He believes that this marriage is a failure, so he seeks divorce. Similarly, the woman enters into the same thing. The husband will be treating her a certain way in the beginning, then he gets busy with the various aspects of life. So she believes that this is not true love, and this household cannot maintain without the true love, so then she will seek divorce. And it is not necessary that there will be a major love and affection between the two spouses in order for them to continue living their life Islamically. And then they start fighting with one another until they go in different ways. And so basically he warned against these different companies and these Muslim businessmen who favor the dunya over the akhirah, and they favor the quick money. So they propagate different merchandise which can be used to propagate this holiday. You know, they sell hearts and flowers and things that are very much related to Valentine, and they spread these among the Muslims, thus spreading corruption. And this is, he said, similar to the Jews and the way they betray their societies. Then he quoted the statement of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Samiyyah rahimahullah. He said, verily, selling food and drink during the holidays of the disbelievers, whether it is clothing or eating or drinking, he says it is all forbidden. It is disliked in a manner that is forbidden, because it is indirectly assisting them to propagate their falsehood. You're helping them continue to do their thing by you participating in selling them, the disbelievers. He said, then what about if you are doing this to your own Muslims, let alone giving it to the kuffar for them to use it in a haram way? What if you, the merchants who are in business, they are selling this to the very Muslims in order to propagate this particular holiday? So he said, then it is of course impermissible for someone to aid a Muslim to imitate the disbelievers and to resemble them in any way, shape or form. Then the Shaykh made dua for all the Muslims. May Allah accept from him his dua. Wa akhir da'wan alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Jazakum Allah khairan.